number one. You know, we spend so much time, just to show you I'm with the subject, in the past and in the future, that we fail to realize that there's only now. And because we do that, you know, because we are so seldom present to life, it seems like there's not enough time. And yet, when we are present, we realize there's plenty of time. The present moment is so spacious. There is more than enough room for everything that it contains. An example that I would give of that, that everyone knows from her or his own life. Know how you're going along. Now this particularly happens to me a lot. I can tell how centered I am because I wear this outfit. And it's dangerous. I mean, I can take out an entire counter, all right, just trying to scratch my nose. And so you're walking along and you bump a cup and it crashes. And as you hear it crash, you recall hitting it. Do you know this one? Okay. It happens so fast. And then there's another experience when you're going along and you bump it and you feel yourself bump it and you look over and there it is and you just reach down and catch it. You know that one? Okay. There was plenty of time. There was plenty of time. Now we can guess that it went just as fast in both cases. All right. But the only difference was, in the second one, I was present. I was there when it happened. In the first, I was not there when it happened. So, what we are conditioned to believe and what we continue to condition ourselves to believe is that this incessant yammy, 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 yammy that goes on is making me efficient, is causing me to get things done, is making me productive. And I would suggest that all it does is tie you up in knots, cause you not to be there, cause you to hear the cup as it hits the ground and breaks into a million pieces. And the only thing that I can encourage you about is that you try it. Just try for a while going through life from here. So I'll do that a lot. Just go live right from here. Only the people in this room will know what that meant. And as you live right from here, you can watch those fears come up about what's going to happen to you if this voice isn't dragging you around through life all the time. The same thing, at the same time, you'll notice that when you're living from here, there's plenty of time for everything. And it's apparent to you what is the next thing to do. Okay? Because the voice will have you doing one thing, believing that you should be doing something else. So you stop that and you go to do that other thing, and then it says, no, you should do that. And so you go to do, and pretty soon you realize that you spent the whole day running around after this voice, not getting anything done. Do you ever have a day like that? Okay. But from here, it's always clear what is the next thing to do, and there's always plenty of time to do it. Does that at all address what you're looking at? Anybody else? Anything about that? for instance.
There's this mountain of brush, a whole mountain of brush. And as long as you keep going at it and working at it, eventually, the relentlessness of time will allow you to do it all. So it's just a matter of kind of doing the same thing over and over again, right? In this case.
That's so interesting. I'm just looking at what I'm trying to figure out is that I think I'm a punctual person, and yet I seem to have very little interest in time. When you say time always moving forward and the relentlessness of time, I find that interesting, because I don't think I ever think about it in those terms. It just always seems to be this moment. So that's interesting to me. I will look at that.
Well, there's things that I do professionally that require me to plan ahead to get something done that's going to take a month, a couple of weeks, a couple of hours, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
yet you plan it right now.
Plan it now.
Right.
Going to build a house. Plan to build a house now. We got a house going. And then when I start building a house.
You start now.
Yeah, I start now.
Okay.
It looks like I'm just never going to get finished. Right? You know, because, I mean, this whole house, right? It's just going to take forever.
And you have that thought now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Same kind of thing as sitting, right? You're just waiting for that gong to go off. So it's the same kind of thing. But, you know, it's going to go off sometime way in the future.
But the comforting thing is, when it goes off, it'll be now.
That's right. So you just have to be patient, and if you wait long enough, the now will...
It'll be now then, just like it's now. Yes.
I have, I think, a related experience with writing papers for school. At the beginning, I think, I can never do this. It's never going to get done. It's just monumental and it's too big. And then there's this time period in between that's just very chaotic. It's just very chaotic, and I don't know how it's all going to come together. There are these little pieces scattered all over the place. And then all of a sudden, it's done.
Yes.
It's the oddest sensation.
Yes.
All of a sudden, it's all finished.
Yes. And take a wild guess at how many times in your life you've had that experience. Not just in school. Not just in school.
Oh, lots of them.
A few hundred thousand, a couple of million. And yet we persist in believing that voice who says, this is never going to get done. I'm never going to be able to figure this out. Isn't that extraordinary? Do you believe it?
No. If I did, I wouldn't get it done.
Wouldn't you, though? I mean, when you say it, don't you actually believe it? Isn't there this little moment of panic with it?
Well, with a lot of things, I think with papers, at this point. I don't believe it anymore because I know it. I know enough times that exact experience, yes. But lots of other things, yes.
Right. Yep. It'll try it on a paper and you'll go, oh yeah, I'm going to get it done. And then it'll pick something else, mm-hmm. that is another subject where you are less confident, and you'll wind up leaving it. And there's, mm-hmm. that little stab of anxiety, or maybe a big stab of anxiety that goes along with it. Yeah.
There's a Greek Orthodox priest who said that if you don't die first, you get it done. If you do, it won't matter.
Yes, so true. And probably we could add that in either case it won't matter.
No,
well, we couldn't. And so what is that? Where does that come from? Where does that come from? I'm not going to be able to get this done. I look ahead at something and it's impossible. It's impossible. It can't work. What does that tell you? What are you counting on? What are you counting on there? What kind of information are you relying on in that situation? I thought we all knew exactly what was going to happen in the future. I mean, isn't that what we spend a great deal of our time doing, is figuring out what's going to happen in the future? So why in this case don't I know how that's going to happen? Are you looking at it? What do you see?
Well, I see a big thing instead of little things. And so I feel fear, like overwhelmed by all. All of a sudden I've made myself very small and then very big. Mm-hmm. And I forget, I guess. I mean, I forget that I can do things. Like, I'm not still out of the flat tire that I had, you know, 5 years ago somewhere, where I thought, my God, I'll never get home. I'm still, you know, I still managed to get home somehow. So, but there's that element of the unknown.
Yes. Yes.
Well, what if we don't know the future?
Yes. Yes, we don't, do we? We don't. Why do we spend so much time planning it, I wonder? Isn't it interesting that we can spend all this time planning the future when nothing is going on? But as soon as something is going on, we have no idea what the future is going to bring? Doesn't that seem odd? I mean, if I can plan the future so carefully, why can't I figure out the house?
I think one thing is that when you're planning something, you're not here in the present. But once you start doing it, writing paper, building a house, whatever, you all of a sudden flip into the present.
That's right. And in this moment, you can do whatever is required of you to do in this moment, right? And when we put those moments one after the other, which has been our experience for as long as we've been alive, moments have, I mean, there's this moment, and then there's this moment, and then there's this moment, and then there's this moment, and I've always been equal to those moments. That is my life experience, right? That's everyone's life experience, I would guess. But I am not equal to a moment that does not exist. I'm not. There's no way I can be, because those moments are huge. They contain killer problems, insurmountable odds. Everything that could possibly go wrong will go wrong in those moments, all at once. Of course I can't be equal to that. Did I see somebody waving at me back there?
Yeah.
No, I believe.
Okay.
No, sometimes I feel like I'm living in the future, rather than now, or the past. I look around at this place, you know, and I think about when we first came here, and there's just trees, and there was the prospect of putting a couple buildings here, in the tree center, and that just seemed like, an impossible dream, just somewhere down the road, you know, just years and years ahead, and here it is. And it feels like, sometimes I just look around, it feels like I'm in the future.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so much centered in the present then, planning the future.
Uh-huh.
And here we are.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm still remaining confused on the whole idea of goals, how goals relate to that. I mean, if we need to be present, you know, how do goals fit in there? How do plans like that, when you're looking off at the future, I'm kind of not equating the two.
Well, it's just one of my favorite things to explore. Here's something that I would ask you to consider, and I'd ask everybody in the room to consider. Do you have a sense, this is going to sound silly, but it really is going somewhere. Do you have a sense that you're living your life? That pretty consistently, it's your life that's being lived by you. Okay? You don't tend to wake up in the morning and decide that you're going to become a doctor and move to Ethiopia. Or things like that. I mean, you've sort of been you for as long as you can remember, right? And you sort of go along in your life. And don't you sort of have a sense of how that's going to go, how that's going, based on what you know of you, who you are, what you like, what you're interested in? Is this pretty much true for most people?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not too mysterious to consider that we have some idea that the next 30 years of our lives might bear some resemblance to the last 30 years of our lives. Okay? I mean, this is pretty safe guessing. All right? And so, you're going to have that sense of your life. So it's not like if you didn't have what you call goals, you would stop being you, or your life wouldn't be going anywhere. Are people with what I'm saying? Okay. We think our life moves along because we have goals. I would just ask you to consider that we have goals because our lives move along. Okay? That you're going along and suddenly it occurs to you that you would like to hoo-hoo. And you realize that you're moving in that direction. And then you think, well, yeah, I'd like to do that. I think I'll make that a goal. Okay, because we like to be participants, right? We like to be a part of what's going on, so we contribute what we can contribute. And that's great. It's wonderful because we like to live in the future. And so if we can put something concrete out there, then we feel like we've really got a grip on the future, right? Because I know where I'm going to be in 5 years or in 10 years, and I know what I'm going to be doing, and that this is very comforting. I can experience myself that far ahead. You know, that's like I couldn't possibly die. I have plans for Christmas. You know, my bills aren't paid. I'm still... So we like to have that sense of being able to see ourselves out into the future. And that seems really harmless to me. It seems a little dangerous, okay? Because very often we will then tend not to look at today because we're looking at where we're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It seems to me like where we get into trouble with that is when we believe that because we can imagine it, it's real. That we really think that because we can see ourselves in our mind there at that point doing that, that it's going to happen. And then if it doesn't, we feel angry. We feel ripped off, cheated. What's wrong with life? I didn't get what I wanted. But it never did exist, except in my imagination. And it seems to me like, you know, we look a lot at how life is going, sort of, am I getting what I want or am I not getting what I want? Do people evaluate life fairly regularly along those lines? And what we tend to focus on is what I wanted and didn't get. And it can seem like we don't get a lot of things in life because we want so very many compared to what we get. But it seems to me like what's happening is exactly the opposite of that. That what we spend most of our time doing is saying no to life. That we have saying no to life. That we have endless opportunities presented to us, and almost without ever consciously acknowledging them, we say no. No, I can't do that. I'm not interested in that. I don't want that. I don't like that. No, 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 no. I want that. And then if I don't get that, I'm terribly disappointed. Okay, it's the wrong life. This shouldn't have happened to me. That was mine and I didn't get it. And I didn't notice all of those things that were mine that I didn't want. So that to me is the other danger of goals. That I'm going this way and I know where I'm going and what I want and what it's going to be like and what it's going to feel like. And I just tromp right through paradise on the way, never noticing that that's where I am because this is not what I want. I'm going there.
I think there's another side of that, which is where you have to be careful what goals you get at, you go after because you're going to get them.
Yes.
One of the things that I find myself doing a lot is asking myself, why am I doing this? I'm sitting, why am I doing this? Why don't I just get up and start, you know, why anything? Because there are a lot of things in my life that I've, a lot of goals that I've had, that I've got. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you know, in the process of living my life, I kind of modified my goals so that, you know, what actually happened really comes together, you know? But, you know, the perception is that I had a bunch of these goals and I got them.
Uh-huh.
And what's next? I mean, that's still kind of future tripping, right? The only way that I can deal with it now is just to try and stay in the present as much as possible.
Yes. And do you know why we prefer being in the past or the future to being in the present?
I
Anybody?
In their mind to play games with it.
And what does that do for us?
You don't have to be responsible for the present moment, for ourselves.
Okay.
You need power? No.
The illusion of power.
The illusion, that's, yeah.
Because,
yeah, right.
Right, I'm the absolute ruler in the world of my imagination. But what happens if I'm right here?
Well, that's all you've got. And that might not be very entertaining.
To
other people. I mean,
To the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be what you want.
In fact, I suspect that it's worse than that. There might not be any eye. In the past, I'm very real. Right? Clearly, I'm very real. I can tell myself stories about what happened. I can go over it. I can have all the emotions. I can change it. I can fix it. Until I get it right. You know that one? Keep going over this until I get it right. And then as soon as I get it right, which is they were all wrong, they missed the point completely. I was right, and now they've all seen it, and everyone has acknowledged that, and we can move on. Okay. I would just love to be able to tune in for a split second to what really happened. I'd want to be very centered when I did that. You know, to what really happened as compared to how it is now in my mind, where I was always so good, you know, so noble and loving. Perfect. And then in the future, it's the same thing, right? Because I can imagine these scenes and I'm the hero and I'm going to fix it and it's going to be wonderful and I'll be brilliant. And does this go on with you people as well, or am I just really giving you insights into my character that I shouldn't be giving you? Okay, so in the future everything is great or not, but it doesn't matter, because if it's not, I'll be able to fix it, right? I mean, I can imagine all these horrible things that could happen, but I know how to take care of them, so they all have a happy ending. But right here, be just completely in this moment. Yes.
What is the personality put into?
This
time scheme. What we have are pasts that we entertain ourselves with, futures that we entertain ourselves with, and presents that we are here or not here for, but happen anyway. And occasionally we can be very aware of those moments. But we carry around within ourselves, apparently, a whole bunch of other folks. In fact, when you ask who's living your life, it suddenly occurred to me that, I don't know, there are 3 or 4 dozen folks who are living my life. And in conjuring them up and trying to speak to them, where are we? Are we in the moment? Are we someplace else? Where?
Well, that's a good question. And you would simply have to look and see. Because, you see, when we're talking about looking at an aspect of ourselves, you can be identified with a 3-year-old child, right? And you can be identified with that child imagining, reliving something that happened to you when you were 3. You can be identified with that 3-year-old child acting now. Okay? Or you can be identified with that three-year-old child projecting into the future. Right? Or you could be identified with another aspect of yourself talking about the three-year-old child, looking at the three-year-old child.
If you're doing it in a very conscious, spacious way, that's some clue that you might be presenter, that if you're engaged in the storytelling of it.
Yes. If you're engaged in the storytelling, if you are identified with the story and the storyteller, that's a pretty good clue that this is not the present moment.
I guess what I'm wondering is when I think and sort of have a sense of what's going on around me, if I then direct that, like asking who is this and who is that, I in some ways lose that.
No, the centeredness?
Well, I lose that their attention, is that a good term? Which allows in everything in an unfiltered way, because this is channeling it more narrowly, so cutting off some of the periphery, that cutting it off from now.
Oh, Lord. This is one of those where I feel like I'm going to go into a hypothetical answer to a hypothetical question, and I can't do that.
Yes.
All right. You would simply need to look and see what that experience is. I would encourage you in that questioning, that the more spacious it is, the more accepting, the more open it is, probably the more from center it is, but not necessarily. You don't want to fall into that trap, because we play with an aspect of ourselves that many folks call pseudo-Zen, and it lives right here, just slightly off-center. And it says things like, it doesn't matter anyway, in this kind of soothing, comforting voice. And so it's very easy to fall into something like that and think, yes, I'm centered. Now, anytime you hear yourself say, yes, I'm centered, let that be a flag. Yeah.
Somewhat in pursuit of what Jessica says, it seems like that those aspects of yourself that that have happened over and over and you haven't really learned from, that they can be very tricky, or that in examining them, you go into the path.
That you identify. Is that what you mean? That part comes out, you're listening to it for a split second, and suddenly you're identified with it?
Yeah.
Yes. Chris, would you feel comfortable talking a little bit about the one that you were telling me about, where you were looking at something and then the voice was talking to you and you realized that, do you know what I'm asking about?
I'm not sure.
Well, it said you were looking at something and then you heard a voice say something like, wow, now that's going to be really hard to...
Yeah, the voice was saying, I wonder in what incredibly subtle ways myself will try and pull the rug out from under, something like that, something to that effect.
And that was it. Okay. That was the incredibly subtle way. See?
And I was fine.
Right.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's not already.
So, to me, that's a perfect example of that. I mean, you're there, you're paying attention, and then suddenly you're identified. You don't even know what happened to you. Yeah.
There were at least three just about like that. within 5 or 6 hours.
Uh-huh. And see, for me, the key to all of this is to let go of any notion of trying to do it right. Right? Because if you're trying to do it right, then that kind of an experience is a defeat. Yeah? Because, you get pulled off. And you believe it. You buy into it. I mean, in this one, the good news is Chris got onto it. But there are dozens of those. And we don't catch on to them right away. We do buy into it. So if we set up that idea that there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this, then we're going to lose nonstop. Okay? Because the setting up of that kind of contest is losing. Hmm. You see? And so to look at it with the idea that I just want to see how this works. I just want to see how it all goes together. Not I'm trying to get to a particular experience that is the right experience to be having. There isn't any right experience to be having.
Yeah. I'm not going to put this right, but isn't the problem in the centering and finding yourself that there is no self, there is no I? And I don't mean, I'm sure there is, but it's so, so complicated and so shifty and what have you. You can't really, it won't sit still for you.
That's right. So you come back here in the place that you know to look for it, and it's not there.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so we go off somewhere else to look for it, but it's the thing that's going off somewhere else to look for it. And then we begin to catch on to that, and we come back here, and we can't find it again.
Principle of indeterminacy.
Is the reason we can't find it because we have to wait for it to come back? Or because there's someone else with us who doesn't want us to see it?
Or, when we're right here, there is no such thing.
So, I'm confused. So, when we're there, we don't see it. Because when we're there, we're not looking.
Because from here, there is nothing separate to see. You see? The light. Uh-huh. Yes.
I don't know if this is actually true, but when you said that, the image I had was if you were following a compass and you got to the North Pole and you were on it, there's no north to point to.
That's right.
Therefore,
and you could stand there and say, my God, the thing is broken, I'm lost. What am I going to do now?
So,
yeah, that's good. Right. And the answer, of course, is I'm right here.
So yeah. You know when you're centered, but you're not thinking about whether you're centered, you just are.
Yes. Now, the danger, this is, I feel perilously close to trying to answer Jessica's question, because you could be sound asleep, blipped out.
Well,
right? I mean, there are lots of other answers to that, too. But yes. Yes. And the experience of that in meditation, see if you recognize this one. All right, you're right there, and then all of a sudden the voice goes, what was that? That was great. I wasn't there. What happened? All right? Then we start tensing up every muscle to try to get back there again. Right? Yeah.
The only direction you can step from the North Pole is south.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is that why we have trouble being present? Because I missed it the first round, but I think I'm
that's right. Many people have. Uh-huh. That's why we don't want to be in the present. Right. Because egocentricity does not exist in the present. There is nothing separate to experience itself as other. Right. And so that's why there will be that moment. And then the scramble. Let's talk about this.
And is that related to the experience we have when we step out of ourselves or out of what we think of as ourselves, and we have nothing to, we have no touchstone because we are it, and we can't see it or perceive it because we are there?
Yes, and there's that same kind of scrambling?
Yeah, after yes. a split second.
After a split second, right. To get that identity back together.
Where am I?
And, the, mm-hmm. and that's that feeling. Right, it's like waking up at night in a strange place.
Mm.
Where am I? And you can watch your brain start to scramble to put everything back in place again.
It would have been better if you had not continued to try to figure out where you were. Because then you would have been nowhere or nowhere you could put a name on, label on.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty close to being liberated.
Yes. And so the important thing when we realize that is to just take a deep breath and let go.
Go back to sleep.
Right, go
back to sleep, hope you wake up again, disoriented, you can try all over again.
Uh-huh.
Can one not be present and then the eye operating? If that were true, then I would never be present in a conversation.
Well? I would encourage you to look at that really closely. Look at that movement really closely. At that time. And again, if you, you know, don't make being in the present a goal. Don't do that because you'll make yourself unhappy. You'll make it way harder than it needs to be. But just notice. Notice when there is that feeling. Notice what happened right before the voice said, I'm present. Okay. Now here, this is just something for you to play with. It seems like the voice that we listen to is telling us what is happening. It seems like it's telling us what is currently going on or what's getting ready to go on, but it's telling us what already went on. Right? So it's reporting what just happened as if it is current information. Right? Because you can't talk about now. Because by the time you form the words, it's not now. You see, it's too late. Now is then. So try to say it faster. And then, you know, you have to watch for one. Okay, here it comes. Now! Still too late, you see. You with me?
Well, then any talking, be it in one's head or verbalizing, is a choice not to be present.
It's always after the fact. Always.
But they don't coexist.
No.
So if you agree to be in the world and converse, you agree that during all those times you will not be present.
Well, you will not be saying what is present. Okay, it, all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk a lot about projection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even a matter of you and I are together and I am intuiting my experience with you. Okay, so there is a present moment experience of you,
mm-hmm.
which I run through all of these filters. By the time it becomes a concept, by the time there are labels, right, we can get a sense of how far away from that experience. Then by the time I run it back through the labels in order to, we can sense the distance from pure experience of the moment. But this is subtle stuff we're talking about. It's not going to disturb most conversations. But just to encourage you to watch that, to have a sense of that. See, all language is telling us what something is like.
And is knowing that fact while it's going on being present?
You're getting very close.
Yes. I've been meditating for several hours the last few days, and what am I supposed to be doing? May I ask?
What is the right thing to be doing?
Do it right.
Whatever it is, just do it right. That's it. That's it.
Obey all the rules.
Obey all of the rules. What else? You know, there is a type who does this kind of thing. Do you know that? We are not a random sampling of the population.
I've read books on something. I still don't know what to do. Uh-huh. You know, count my breaths, I know that. Mm-hmm.
And what else? Let me tell you an old story. I haven't told one of those in a long time, since last night, I believe. Fellow becomes concerned about life and death, and he goes in pursuit of the ultimate truth, as you all have. And he searches, 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 and nobody seems to have it. And finally he hears about this guy who lives on the top of a mountain, on an island. And everyone he talks to assures him that this guy knows. And so, I won't bore you with the details, but he got there. And he finally met the fellow. And he said, I'm looking for the ultimate truth. Can you tell me what that is? And he said, yes. He said, I can. He said, the first ultimate truth, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention, Howard. The second ultimate truth. Pay attention. The third ultimate truth. Pay attention. He's right. It's true.
I've been doing the right thing.
That's right. Yeah. But that's perfect, because that's what happens to us. We're paying attention and the voices start in. Well, this can't be it. I mean, that's too simple. How can that be it? I must have forgotten something. What am I really supposed to be doing now? Right? Everybody's giggling because this is true, right? This is the story of meditation practice. Yeah, but I know there's more to it than this. Because how could all of those books have been written if all that there is to it is paying attention?
All these other people wouldn't be here doing this if there weren't more to it than I was getting.
That's right. I mean, we could all do this at home, right? Correspondence. Right, just get a slip of paper in the mail. Pay attention.
Chandler.
Right. That's a good idea. Zen Correspondence School. I have this other scheme. I thought this would be a good one. I was gonna market meditation tapes. There'd be a half hour tape, and at the beginning there'd be a bell. That would be very helpful.
Maybe a cough or two, something.
Well, that would be the touch. Oh dear. So what else? Yes, Bobby.
When you're in the presence, and say you're able to stay there for a while, do you still hear the voices? It's just that you don't identify with them, or do you not hear them? I mean, do the voices still run through?
Well, that's another one of those questions that I hesitate to answer, because I don't want to give anybody an idea about how an experience is going to be. I would just encourage you to find out. Okay? Pay really close attention. Get into the present and watch what happens. And it's kind of like, again, this is the danger to me in this goal business. Because no matter how many times I say, or anybody says, there's nowhere to get to. You know, we're not going to get finished until, you know. People don't believe it. People think, yeah, but I'm going to have an experience and then that's going to be the end of it. You know, all the lights are going to come on and then they're just going to stay on and I can just do whatever. And don't wait for that experience. Okay. And so in the meantime, if you can let go of that sort of a notion, you can start really enjoying awareness. Mm-hmm. You can just notice, okay, there's that state. And there's an attitude of mind that is with John about this earlier today. There's an attitude of mind that I'd like to describe to you. And it's one of being available. It's being right there, perfectly present, open, but not grasping, not desiring. Okay? If something were to happen, you would notice it. But you wouldn't miss it because you're concentrating so hard trying to see something. Mm-hmm. So it's like having your whole being a question in the sense of openness. Can you get a feel for that? So when I talk about this, I'm not really saying that I'm sitting there and I see the state of mind. I see the content of mind. I'm aware of what's going on in the body. I'm aware of what's happening with me emotionally. And then I start analyzing it. Not talking about that. Because being completely present in that attitude of mind that I just described, you will see everything that there is to see. You'll know as much about it as you can possibly know about it. Talking about it won't add anything to it at all. Yes, John.
I think transcendent athletic performances are examples of people being close to being in the moment, being present.
Yes. Yes. And one of the qualities of that people most often describe is that spaciousness. That timelessness.
Absence of analysis.
Yes. There's just a oneness. A feeling of being at one with. And if you were to talk to yourself about what happened in that experience, you could talk for the rest of your life. Because there is that sense of a perfect grasp on every aspect of all of it. Okay? But there's no need to talk to yourself about it. We will, because we can't not. And especially with something like that, because it's so great.
And if you do it halfway through, you screw it up.
Oh, yes. Because that self-consciousness that comes in and wants to then analyze what happened and what's happening now and what's going to... And you can just feel the tension come into your body and everything stops working. And that, of course, is the attitude of mind that most of us walk around in most of the time. Is that helpful, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Does that... Yeah. So it's that openness without needing to reach any kind of conclusion. Once you see it, you won't really know anything. Right? One of my favorite notions is that truth has no application. Right? You see it, you recognize it, you realize it, and it is so absolutely so. So perfectly of that moment. But don't try to drag it out of that moment and apply it to another moment. So we notice it and we let it go. We notice it and we let it go. Yeah.
This is very important to the Quakers, what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And also, as you probably know, they meet in silence when they're almost silence.
Yes. And then...
But being present where you are is a very, very important doctrine, or a very important experience for me.
Yes.
It seems like for most of us, when we start down this path, that the analyzing it is part of the process, that you almost need to do that part in order to get from just the total stuckness or the total unconsciousness.
Yes, because we can't just take that leap. I mean, it would be lovely, but it's so idealistic. If you come in and I say to you, don't worry about making a mistake. You're perfectly fine. Just drop all of that. Just step into the moment and do what you will. There's no way. It's not going to happen. And so we systematically go through this until we have the courage to take that step.
And there seems another part along the way where all of that analyzing is going on, but for me anyway, often lately, I'm not getting so preoccupied or angry that it is.
Right.
I know that's not it.
Yes.
But I'm not mad that it's not it, which is how I spent a lot of time first sitting and doing it.
It's I did this picture of there you are in your life, and there's this guy sitting in the corner and he's just talking to himself. You know, he may be doing mathematical theories, and he's going through foreign languages, and he's talking about Greek philosophers, and he's just going on. And at first, you're just fascinated. You want to listen to everything he has to say. He's so brilliant. He's so clever. He's so all, he throws in a few jokes. This is great. And you're just sitting right there. And then you begin to get the sense that this guy doesn't have all the answers, right? And in fact, you begin to realize that maybe the answers are inside of you, and that what you need to do is sit down and be quiet, and then you'll be able to hear what those answers are. Well, now this guy's not so entertaining anymore. You know, he's making a lot of noise. He's really getting in the way. And so you try to be nice about it, and you try to be polite, and try to ignore him, and do all of these other things, and then pretty soon you realize that on the path to compassion, you're over there with an axe handle, and you're ready to beat him to death, to get him to shut up. I mean, you do anything to shut him up at this point. Okay, and then we live through that aspect of it. And finally, we get calmed down and we realize we don't really need to take it this personally. And it's not hurting anybody. And then you just go over and you sit down in your corner and you find your silence. And then you can just go right on entertaining yourself. the part when I'm talking about not making a contest out of it. As long as you can, as long as you're engaged with him, he's got you. Whether you love him, whether you worship him, whether you hate him, whether you're trying to ignore him. But just let him go on. Not hurting anybody.
And that's kind of where I was when I was comfortable. You know, can be present while there's something going on there. Because I can have somebody up there edit what a flower looks like that I just kind of went by, and lots of times it doesn't follow me.
It's what it's trained to do. You hate to see somebody out of work. You know? It's been doing that for years, and you were happy for years that it was doing that. You know, what a clever mind. I know the name of every flower along this path. Gee, I wish there was somebody here so I could tell them the names of all these flowers. Oh, shut up. Yeah. So we just really flip from one side of the duality to the other. Yeah. And then we get into that place where he's not taking it personally. I'm not taking him personally. I'm not taking you personally. Who cares? Who am I to decide that there's something wrong with this entire system? Maybe I'll just pay attention to it for a little while and see what the heck is going on before I decide that either I'm wrong, it's wrong. We're just conditioned so strongly that there's something wrong. It's very scary to let go of that notion. Very scary. Just to step into that place of saying, maybe there isn't anything wrong. It feels like we're not being responsible, like we're not, like you're not a good person. Yeah.
Could you elaborate more on our loops that we're in? You talked.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.